And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is refocusing. Each of my guests is helping us to refocus our attention on a particular subject. My next guest is a Harvard Business School professor dedicated to helping high-achievement individuals turn their fear of change into fuel for success. We'll discuss his methods from his book, Flying Without a Net. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Thomas DeLong is a professor of management practice in organizational behavior at Harvard Business School. Before joining the Harvard faculty, Thomas was the chief development officer and managing director of Morgan Stanley Group Incorporated. Thomas teaches globally in a myriad of executive programs as well as executive courses on campus. He consults with leading organizations on the process of making individuals and organizations change. His latest book is titled Flying Without a Net, Turn Fear of Change into Fuel for Success. It centers on the challenges of helping talented professionals who are resistant to change. Professor DeLong received his undergraduate and his master's degree from Brigham Young University and his PhD from Purdue University. He's also received postdoctoral fellowship from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Joining us from Amsterdam. Oh, hi, Tom. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm terrific. It's good to be with you.
Well, thank you for being with us, and thank you for taking a little bit of your day to spend some time with the folks here in Ventura County. Let's just dive right into it. It was Shakespeare who wrote, "Fear doth make cowards of us all." In business and in life, our biggest fear of many people, and this includes me, is that fear of change. You call the fear of change the Achilles heel of the driven, ambitious professional. Why do most people fear change, Tom?
Well, the dilemma is that the only way that you change is that you have to do the right thing poorly. And what I mean by that is before you can make any kind of change, you aren't going to be perfect in that change process. So by definition, you're going to be self-conscious. You might feel stupid. You're going to think that people are looking at you. And that's the last thing that an individual wants to feel. So therefore, they'd rather continue in their old ways, even though they may be dysfunctional, because it at least feels comfortable.
Very true. And I guess successful people became successful by doing what it is they're doing at a high degree of proficiency. And the problem is they don't want to be vulnerable and show a lesser degree of proficiency. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. What we're finding is that a number of individuals in their 40s are thinking that when they get older, they're going to figure out or be able to solve whatever that problem or that fear is. But what's happening is that they're becoming more and more resistant and frightened of doing something different. And so they start to feel somewhat hollow, whether it manifests itself in depression, but they start to worry about, you know, what's my purpose, and can I get out of this rut that I'm in?
And they really start to think about their legacy. Tom, why do you focus on driven and ambitious people? I mean, doesn't fear of change really affect us all, regardless of our level of achievement or our success?
Well, I think part of it is, one is to heal thyself. Second is that early on in my career, I found myself competing and wanting to be number one, and I saw a lot of other people around me, and then I went to Wall Street, and then I went to the Harvard Business School, and I was around more and more people who felt less and less satisfied the more that they accomplished. And so it was that particular group, because what happens is that for the driven individual, the more that they achieve, the more they have this insatiable desire to achieve. So it's a particular subset that I think have particular challenges, because they've had just enough success so that they can have this image that everything's just fine. But they have some real issues that they need to deal with.
All right, that makes sense. My guest is Tom DeLong. We're talking about his book, Flying Without a Net. Now, Tom, in your book, you list the big three when it comes to anxieties that prevent people like you and me from changing. What are the big three?
The first is, as I start asking, individuals start asking themselves the question, a little bit like the old movie Alfie, what's this all about? Why don't I feel more satisfied at work? Why don't I want to ask myself some fundamental questions? What is my identity? Do I see myself as a particular ethnicity, working at a particular place? So there's some fundamental questions that arise. The second big dilemma or
anxiety?
Anxiety that they need to get over is this notion of significance. The question that individuals ask when they go to work is, do I matter? Does anybody but me know that I'm coming to work? And this is connected with the purpose question as well. The final anxiety is also connected with significance, and it's this notion of connection. Am I part of the group? Have I been voted off the island? And those three, as they play themselves out, instead of basically what it does is it simply paralyzes us even more because we're afraid of what those fundamental answers might be.
All right, Tom, well, let me drill down on that. The three anxieties, purpose, isolation, and significance, I get that. But in an earlier answer, you said that this realization actually comes upon people in their 40s is typically the time that they start to feel these anxieties really keenly. And why the 40s? Why shouldn't somebody be concerned about these three things in their 20s when they're first entering the job force?
What I think happens is I do believe that 20-year-old, those in their 20s, ask themselves those questions, but I think that it's easier to distract in the 20s. And so, no, I don't think it's solely for those in their 40s, but what I do believe is that that's when you begin to ask yourself or give yourself permission to ask some more fundamental questions. But what we hope to do, at least in the training of MBAs and other individuals, is to get them to be more self-aware earlier on in their lives and realize that it isn't that frightening to ask themselves those questions. So I do believe it, that those worries are there in the 20s and 30s, but I think it's in the 40s that we particularly start to get really frightened by those answers.
My guest is Tom DeLong, and Tom, you said an important thing is to become aware of some of these things, and really there are some traps that every one of us fall into, and this is where the book really resonated with me, traps that people fall into so that we don't have to become aware. What are the four traps that successful people fall into that really inhibit them from thinking about the three anxieties and focusing on change?
When I'm experiencing these three anxieties, one of the first things that we do is that we try to distract and just get more busy. So I call it busyness. And what I find individuals confessing is that they say, well, at the end of the week, if I'm exhausted, I guess that means I've had a meaningful week.
Ah.
But what it might really mean is that they've just been running. And so that you distract, you put more things in your life so you don't have to ask yourself those questions.
Well, now, Tom, let me stop you right there, because this is one of the traps that I fall into. This is certainly a trap that I have. But it's the old, well, if I don't do it, nobody else will. It's that drive for perfectionism that you alluded to before. You got to be willing to do things wrong the first couple of times. But in reality, if you know, I get that feeling I'm busy because if I don't do this, nobody else will. How do you react to that?
Well, it's a rationalization that you and I use to keep myself moving faster and faster. And the question is, yes, there might be some things that you don't get done, but the reason that this is a problem for the high need for achievement personality is they don't know how to keep perspective and say, you know, I have too many plates, and yes, some of these plates are falling. I guess that's okay. What a high need for achievement personality does relative to the busyness piece is when the plates start to fall, they go all the way on the emotional scale from 9, my life is going well, to 1, I'm a failure. My life doesn't compute. Why am I not having satisfaction? And they begin to tell themselves things that they would never tell another person, but it's legitimate to tell themselves those messages. And that's so painful that they would, let's just distract so I don't have to think about it so that I won't feel so bad about not achieving everything.
All right. Now, I interpret it a little bit differently. I interpreted it towards the significance. If I'm doing all of these things, then I must be significant because here I am. I'm the only one who's doing them. True or false?
I think that it's a combination of, all three. I do think it's purpose. I do think it is, I matter if I can do all of these things. The process of self-awareness starts us on this path of realizing that it is impossible for us to do all the things that we have set out or believe that we should do. Because what happens is that we start feeling all of this inter-role conflict, and then what happens is that we start feeling ongoing guilt because no matter what we do, it's not enough. And that is significance. It's also connectedness, and I would also say it also integrates and dovetails with connection.
All right, that makes sense. My guest is Tom DeLong. All right, Tom, so that's one of the traps that I personally fall into, but it's only one of the four traps that you say we set for ourselves as high-achievement individuals. What are the other three?
Well, the second one that I talk about is this whole notion of comparing. And when I start to feel like my life isn't working, then one of the ways I distract is I simply compare myself with people who aren't doing very well. That makes me feel better. But then what eventually happens is I quickly look and say, oh, my gosh, I'm not keeping up with the people that I went to school with. My friends are getting ahead. And so what happens is that you compare yourself both ways. You level set yourself down in comparison, and you level set yourself up. So comparing is a real problem because it is a losing proposition. No matter what you do, you're going to lose out on that perspective. The third one that I talk about is this notion of blaming. And that is that if my career is not working out, then it's got to be my boss's fault. If my relationships aren't working well, you know, my wife just doesn't get it. She hasn't been growing and learning and developing. You can take that for as far as you'd like. The fourth one is a way of life that we take on. And this is what I call worry. You get up in the morning, and you simply turn it on, and you start to fret, and you start to hand-wring, and you start to worry about yourself in the context of other people, and that's the way you live throughout the day. And the more tired you are, the more stressed you are, the less effective you become, and then you realize that you really do, and I brought it up earlier, you really start to feel this hollow feeling inside. And then what you do with worry is you simply try and turn it off at night. And some might use a drink, and others might use a sleeping pill. But that sounds kind of bleak. But with those four traps, it's very difficult for people to get over and answers those questions around those three basic anxieties.
And very true. And I found this is where the book became very personal for you, too, because you say you come from a family of worriers. So you identify with that number four, the worrying, quite heavily, don't you?
There's no question. And by the way, I experience all of those four. And one of the things that I talk about in the book is that the only way that you get out of these traps is to try something different, which means by definition that you need to be vulnerable. And I would say you need to be vulnerable in the context of other people who will help you through a rough patch. But what I tried to do with the book is that instead of just talking about the quantitative part of the research, what I attempted to do was model some sense of vulnerability by the stories that I tell about the do-overs that I wish I had as I focused on being a high achiever, and in some ways, knowing that at some level, other people would pay the price for my need to achieve.
My guest is Tom DeLong, author of the book, Flying Without a Net, Turn Fear of Change into Fuel for Success. So, Tom, here's where I ask you for the secret sauce. Give us some ideas of how we can overcome these fears.
Number one, you've got to stop. You've got to stop and self-reflect. and you've got to ask yourself some questions like, why am I continually telling myself the story that I'm telling myself? Is it really as bad as I think it is? And do I actually believe that there is a way out? Second, you've got to find a support. You've got to find people that you can talk to and admit that you don't have all the answers. And this is a significant problem for individuals who have been highly successful, is they do not want to show any weakness in any way. The third piece is creating an agenda that is specific and focused, where you're looking at things at short-term, medium-term, and long-term. It doesn't have to be lengthy. I give examples in the book. And then this becomes a dynamic agenda that you keep close to you, that you give to your significant other, you give to your mentor, you give to some of the people that report to you, that actually help you through this. Four, you act and you do it. And then five, you hold steady. And what I promise individuals is that there are professionals that I have studied that I never believed could make significant change. But they are on their way because they have, and I'm not suggesting that this is the simple answer to life, but I do believe that high need for achievement personalities have to have the courage to say, I don't have the answers to everything, and there is a way out.
And in this rapidly changing, complex world, that does take courage to be able to say that. My guest is Tom DeLonge, author of the book Flying Without a Net. Tom, what do you want readers to take away from your book, Flying Without a Net?
I want them to have the courage, regardless of whatever age they are, to know that there are more possibilities, that we have research and we have literature on how individuals change, that we have testimonials of individuals who felt paralyzed themselves and were able to put one foot in front of the other to get out of their rut. What I want individuals who pick up this book to understand and realize is that the only sign of life is growth. The only sign of life is growth, and it can start at 20 and at 40 and at 70. And through that process, days can be brighter, possibilities can be greater.
I love that. The only sign of life is growth. My guest has been Tom DeLonge, author of the book Flying Without a Net, Turn Fear of Change into Fuel for Success. Tom, if people want to learn more about you, they're intrigued by what you have to say, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I think that they could turn to the Harvard Business Review Press. There's a website there. That's probably the best place to turn.
And that's hbr.org for those of you that are wanting to find that on the Internet. Tom, thank you so much for being my special guest, and particularly thank you for taking time out of your evening there in Amsterdam to be on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
My pleasure.